I actually thought I had actually finished this series, but just praying about it, thinking about some more, I felt like I kind of left you hanging a little bit because we started talking about the 40-day treatment. And I actually didn't tell you how to do it, and so I'm going to go back and basically go over this how to do this thing. But before that, let's do a prayer declaration. I want you to get your Bibles. Hopefully, you guys brought one, right? This is the Beat the Devil Upside the Head handbook, right? And so you got your Bibles, so would you put them up in the air like this, right? This is our man. If you don't have one, grab onto someone else's Bible, right? You'll do it together. And just a simple prayer declaration. Repeat after me, okay? I am what this book says that I am.
I am what this book says
Right?
that
I have what this book says that I have.
I have what this book says that I have.
And I will do what this book says that I will do. Amen? You guys really believe that? Amen. All right. Let's open your Bibles. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 10. I've just been amazed more and more so just at our prayer declarations that we do give, how much power that has. I'm going to be talking a little bit through this. And I was also incredibly blessed during this time, and not just to see my friends, but just the messages that they were carrying. And I think I was sharing with our worship team, and I think the Bible study last week, and the scripture in Zephaniah, that's actually the one that the giant quoted earlier in our testimony. That God, as we were in the womb, He was dancing over us and singing songs of joy, and these things. And it really came home to me. I mean, most of you guys know now that my wife is pregnant, right? She's 7 weeks pregnant now, and so when I wake up in the mornings, I've been doing this ritual. And I've been waking her up, and I grab her waist, and this is really clean, so she's got to follow along, right? I just grab her waist and I just put my nose at her womb, and I just start praying over this child, and I just usually I'm just speaking in tongues, and I'm just praying destiny and all these things, and there was one time, and I didn't even think about the Zephaniah passage, it came back to me, and I almost wanted to sing. It was just like this thing was bubbling inside of me. I wanted to sing this song over my child, but I didn't want to ruin my child, right? You guys know how I sing. And so I was a little self-conscious, so I stopped. But there was like this melody that was rising up inside of me. And it brought me back to that Zephaniah passage. And I realized, man, and I was having this kind of dialogue with God. And I was thinking, God, man, so when I was born, you must have been like that. I mean, if I'm a natural, soon-to-be father, it says you being evil know how to give good gifts, and we use that as a backdrop. And me being evil, I can express that kind of joy about this baby. How much more do you think the Heavenly Father expressed about me? And I just started feeling really good inside and just thinking that, man, God, you really were dancing just in light of the emotions that I was feeling, over this unborn baby inside. I've been writing emails to my friends. I am probably the happiest father to be, the most proudest father to be, I can imagine. My parents actually want us to have the baby in the United States. And we're not going to. We're going to have it here in Hong Kong. But the reason why my dad wants us to have the kid in the United States? Because my dad thinks if we can't have the kid in the U.S., then he can never be president. Can you believe that? I mean, like my grandparents, man, they have just these aspirations, and it doesn't matter, male or female, it don't matter, right? They just think that our child is going to be the president of the United States, And some people said, the chief executive of Hong Kong said, nope, right? It's not going to happen, right? So, but it's just, but these dreams, and I can see that press upon. So, I got over my insecurity, and so one morning I did sing a song to the little kid. I sang, "You Are My Sunshine." All right, so it was kind of, it was beautiful, man. I don't care what they think about my voice. It was a beautiful song that I was able to utter. But just that reality, and for the conference for me, the whole weekend is just coming back to that simple fact. My goodness, I mean, I was once a little, I was once in the womb, and Father God danced over me. And He was, and I think about all the dreams that I have for this child, and all the dreams that my parents have for this child, and I think that's nothing compared to the dreams that God had for me. You know what I mean? And in the same way, the dreams that God had for you, every single one of you, and I should actually change that, not had, but has, for every single one of us. This is Father God. You know, and he was so proud of us, and he is still so proud of us. You know, and to me, the conference, if anything, that was a seal of it for me. You know, to bring me back and just realizing that, you know, sure, I'm 37 years old now. I'm still a little kid, you know, probably more so than you think, right? But I'm still a little kid. But Father God still sees me as that little kid. You know, and he still has these dreams, and he still has these hopes, and he still is grabbing hold of my hand and leading me and walking me towards the prize. You know, and God, and if I want to say anything, God has every single one of you as the apple of his eye. You know, that his hand is totally embraced over yours, and he's carrying you, he's holding on to you, and he's guiding you, right, into your destiny. You know, and what an incredible feeling. Yeah, but also knowing that God has got all these plans for us, we also recognize that the enemy has got a detour in line for every single one of us as well. And so I'm just going to do a little review again, since this is, you know, this has been a month now that we've been on this, right? The enemy has three main weapons, right? Sin, accusations, but by far the strongest of them all are what we call strongholds. Now, if you have your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we can read what he's talking about here. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5, and it says, "Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." And so I define a spiritual stronghold, right, is a mindset impregnated with hopelessness that causes us to accept as unchangeable situations that we know are contrary to the will of God. You know, and the easiest way that I say this is that we have speculations. These are things that are contrary to the Word of God. Speculations, ideas that run contrary to God's Word in our lives. And what happens, he brings speculations, and then a lofty thing that's raised up against the knowledge of God. The lofty thing, if you can just visualize it, a lofty thing is this partition that goes up. And when the speculations come, right, or when the Word of God comes, it blocks, the partition comes and it blocks that. And we don't see, you know, the Word as it truly is in our lives. And it almost dies on that wall. It's like this Word of God is like a ball or something. And it hits this wall and it just goes down because our partition is raised up. These speculations or lies, you know, these things that are unfounded, these things come in our way and they're blocked off. This partition goes up. And so what Paul is saying here, look, we are destroying speculations. We are canceling the lies and we are bringing down that lofty thing raised up against the line, this partition that has been raised up, and we're bringing those things down. Right? This is what we're getting to. And our whole idea, or the whole point of as we're moving along this, is we're saying, man, we're going to get rid of these lies. We're going to begin to speak the truth. We're going to begin to live in the truth. You know, we're going to bring these lofty things, and we're going to bring these things down so that the Word of God is manifest in our life, and it kind of runs true to the way we're living our life. You know, so it's no longer about like, oh, that's just the way I think, or I've always been like this. You know, I'm just a negative person, and so I'm just always going to, you know, be negative. I can't change. You know, and the moment you put the "I can't" in front of God, then you know it's a lofty thing. You know that's a speculation, because with God, all things are possible. Amen. And so we come to understand that. See, the devil, he places a stronghold there because the moment that we build a lofty thing, we become double-minded now. You know, and this is what and people like John has said, you know, "I know in my head, but I don't know in my heart." That's double-mindedness. Right? I mean, that's basically, we can give so many different definitions of it, but that's double-mindedness. Right? We kind of understand, we grasp the idea, but we're so unable to live it out in our life. Right, that's double-mindedness. Right, that's exactly, and James will talk about that. Right, the moment we become double-minded, we become unstable. The moment we become unstable, we can no longer defeat the devil. Right, and so we see that there's this time bomb that he puts there. So another week's message is: what does a stronghold look like? A stronghold, right, are located in the mind. Do you have all this stuff? Do you have all this stuff, Ken? Ken's got this stuff down, right? Strongholds create a double mind that results in spiritual and emotional instability. Strongholds are often made up of good thoughts. Strongholds often develop in the shadows of our strengths, and strongholds are often activated by painful traumas. And then last, 2 weeks ago, before the revival, we talked about how to destroy strongholds, right? Strongholds are not meant to be managed, ignored, or cared for. They are to be destroyed. Right? He says here, we're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we're taking every thought captive. Not just the bad thoughts, the good thoughts, all these things. We're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And this is how we destroy these things. And so we use James chapter 4, 7 through 10 as a model by which we do this. We submit to God. We resist the devil. We draw near to God. Right? And then we rest assured that He will draw near to us. And this is by which we talk about the process of turning knowledge into conviction. See, knowledge turns into conviction only through a trial. We engage the enemy, right? That's a trial. We overcome, and it becomes a conviction. The conviction will become a part of your character. You know, and the reason why that happens, right, it's a conviction because you tried it and it worked. You know that it's true, right? You'll never come into temptation again because the conviction is now a part of your character because you know the Word of God is true. So you see, this is really quick. If you want to go back, you know, go grab or get on the internet and you can listen to the messages and whatnot. But I want to get to what we're starting here is the 40-day treatment, right? And so we talked about this. I said for the next 40 days, right, just get words of God, right? Remember, you don't have to fast, right? So don't get nervous, right? But for 40 days, we come together, right, and we hold on to God's Word. And we begin to speak these things out. And I'm going to talk about why it's important for us to speak these things out. Why it's important for us to not only to memorize the Word of God, but to use it as an arsenal, as a weapon to engage the enemy in. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. And incidentally, you know, all throughout, if you guys have any questions or things, just drop me an email, right? I'm usually pretty good about answering emails. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, I urge you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Let's pray. Let's ask God to help us today. And Father, we thank you, God, for this time, God. We thank you that you want to open up our eyes, God, and our ears and our heart, God, to receive your word, Lord, in such a way that it brings transformation, God. Lord, we don't want any more information, Lord. We have plenty of information, God. What we need is transformation, Lord. And so we know that only comes by your Holy Spirit. And so we ask you, Lord God, that you'd come right now and you release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to this church today. And God, and I just humble myself, God, and I ask that you use me today, God, and let my mind be clear, God. Let there be clarity in my thought and my speech, Lord. God, that it would break the devil's back, Father. We thank you so much for this time. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right? What we're talking about here in this Romans passage, we're talking about renewing our mind. Right, that's what we want to get to. Because what happens is, right, these thoughts come, and I hope you like Eric's kind of illustration, you know, and he brought up Sean, and who else was up here? Stevie, right, and showed you what happens, right? The enemy comes and he whispers these things to you because he's assaulting us all the time, right? And he comes and he tells you, oh, you're a loser, you know, you can't do this, you know, you're never going to get married, you know, you're so ugly, right, you're so dumb, you know, and I mean, just on and on and on. Did you know, actually, those are the three things that even psychology, right, secular psychology will tell you that is bombarding us in the area of our self-esteem. That most of us, in our heart of hearts, we think we're ugly, we think we're stupid, right, and we think we're unlovable. Isn't that amazing? Right, and this goes all totally contrary to what God says of us. You know what I mean? But these are things that plague, I mean, not just the Christians, but people in the world. You know, and then you add on the Christian, the other aspect is that we're unforgivable. You know, and for some reason, this seems to haunt us all the time. You know, and so the enemy is always, you know, combating us with these things. But the Word of God says, no, you're a winner. You know, you're not a loser. You know, I mean, you know, you're not, you know, made in, you know, into this world for nothing. Right? You're not just the breath, that there's a purpose for your life. And we see how, you know, the Word of God and the voices that we hear all the time come, you know, in contradiction to one another. And so what we're trying to do in our lives, we're trying to renew our minds. Right? We're trying to get to a place where we think differently. Whereas before, you know, that maybe you're out somewhere, you know, and someone looks at you in a funny way, and you know, and you feel like, oh, you know, well you could have actually a couple of different reactions. One could be if you're really prideful, oh, that girl really likes me, you know, and you know, or the other way, you know, you know what I mean, right? So you can have many different reactions, but there's a stimulus that happens, right? A word comes or some kind of thought comes, and there's a stimulus, and the way we react to that stimulus is the way that we'll react in our lives. For instance, you know, a pastor, maybe because you have a difficulty with authority or something, you know, a pastor would say, hey, come on, let's do it. You know, let's go for it. You know, and some people, because their stimulus or what's, you know, their trigger is a little off, they'll think that the pastor's saying, you're a loser. You can't do it. You know, why are you rebuking me? Why are you kicking my butt? You know, but that's not what was said at all. You know what I mean? And, you know, so you can have, like, someone can criticize or be constructive criticism, but we could take it in totally different ways. Because the way we're wired, you know, and the way that stimulus hits is different. And so what we're trying to do, we're trying to wire ourselves differently, if that makes any sense to us. Right? We're trying to, whatever stimulus comes, we're trying to not to react with the way that we are, or not try to react with what we've always reacted, but now we're trying to react with the Word of God, with truth. You know, and this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to renew our minds in this place. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. The only way the renewing comes will be through the Word of God. Right? Will be through the Word of God. That's why I had you in the beginning make a prayer declaration. Right? It is the Word of God that's going to change us. It's not going to be, oh, Pastor Sam's advice. You know, it's not going to be, oh, this author that I read or this psychologist that I go see. The thing that's going to transform and renew our minds is the Word of God. Right, it's going to be this living word, living and active inside of us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. What's going to do that? It's going to be the word of God. The word, and I'm going to focus on these two things. I'm talking about the necessity to speak these words out. The word there, word, is the Greek word logos. And John chapter 1, and if you want to know more, we'll actually be studying John 1 in Bible study this Wednesday. But in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. The same word, W-O-R-D, that's used there is the same word that's used here in Hebrews chapter 4. And this is logos. Logos meaning divine expression. Our literal definition is intelligence. Right? Divine expression. Intelligence, it's not just a lofty kind of intelligence, but intelligence that can be understood by human beings. This is why you know the depth of John's writing. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is intelligence. It's God, but that can be seen in human form. The incarnation. That's logos. You know, and I mean, just wrap your brain around that for a while. That's pretty profound, right? And so we couldn't really understand God, you know, and the Israelites only saw him, you know, behind a veil, and only saw him behind the rules and the laws and, you know, the Talmud, the Torah, and all these things. But now Jesus Christ comes down and says, hey, you see the Father, you know, you see me, you've seen the Father. And he becomes divine expression, logos, right? In other words, he's this intelligence, he's God. But in a way that you can understand, that's logos, right? And so we understand that logos, right, scripturally meaning is this. This is logos, right? This is divine expression in a language that we can understand, logos, right? Amen? So there's logos. Right? I'm going to try to be like Eric today, right, so I can make sure you guys memorize logos. This is what it's all about, right? And so it's intelligence. It's the word as an expression of that intelligence, right? And so Jesus, right, being the divine logos. There's another word. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. And it's not just in here, but I just want to highlight some things to you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. I'm sorry, it's verse 17. And it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now that word, W-O-R-D, there is not logos. The word that's spoken there is actually another Greek word called rhema. There's only two words in this, right? Rhema now is talking about the spoken word of God. And so you have divine expression, right? You have intelligence that can be understood by humans. And so you have that part, but there's a whole other part, and this is power, and it's when that divine intelligence is spoken out, and you have rhema. You have power. Right? And he says, this is a sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Right? This is our offensive weapon. And so, see, the intelligence part, it could be a lofty thing, but it's in a way we can understand. So you can think of this as being in our mind. This is logos, or being wrapped on pages. This is logos. Rhema, right, is that word that we know inside, and boom, when we speak it out, power comes forth. You know, and so in Genesis, right, when God created the heavens and the earth, he said, let there be light. The word that was spoken was rhema, right? It was the logos, right, the divine expression, God himself, intelligence, and boom, right, rhema came out, let there be light, and boom, light happened, right? And so what rhema is, it's this divine expression, it's logos being lived out inside of us, and when it's spoken out, when it's released into the atmosphere, power comes forth from that. You know, John tells us, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Yeah, the truth will set you free. But how many of you guys, we know a lot of truths, don't we? But do we really know them, like what John is saying? See, the word, right, it's talking about knowing is meaning more to experience, right? You know, do you know in the Bible, whenever the scriptures talk about knowing God and stuff, I'm telling you, you can trust me on this, right? And I challenge you to look throughout the scriptures that it never tells you to understand a concept, right? It doesn't say, well, you just wrap your mind around this thought, or just, you know, understand this or that. It doesn't talk about it. He's talking about experiencing God. And so when he says, you shall experience the truth and the truth will set you free, right? It's not necessarily the truth that sets you free. It's the truth that you know, that you have experienced, that sets you free. And so when I talk about a 40-day treatment, I'm talking about wrapping your mind, getting these scriptures, right, into your life. You know, begin to regurgitate these things into your life. And when you speak these things out, power comes forth, right? This is rhema, right? The spoken word of God. Now, there's a great passage. Turn to Luke chapter 1. Now, illustrate this even more to you. This is one of my favorite passages. This is the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the angel finally comes and tells Mary that you're going to carry the Christ, right? And she's like, how can this be? I'm a virgin. You know, this is like a miracle. You know, and listen to what the angel says in verse 37. I just told you the whole background, so we don't have to read the whole thing. In verse 37, it says, for nothing will be impossible with God. How many of you guys have a different translation? Who's got an NIV? What does your NIV say? For nothing is impossible. How many of you guys have a King James? Anyone have King James? Oh, you guys are modern like that, huh? Right? Basically, it's all saying the same thing. This is actually, if you look in the original text, it's actually a really bad translation of it. Right? Because the word that's using here, when it says, nothing will be impossible with God, the actual translation in Greek is not any word. Right? Spoken word will be impossible with God. The word there, the nothing part, they somehow interrupted that, and it's rhema is introduced again. So if you look in Greek, when you understand verse 37, it says, no spoken word of God will be impossible. Another, let me give you the best translation for this. Literally, this is what it's saying, verse 37. No spoken word of God shall be without ability. Right? No spoken word of God shall be without ability. Because it's using the word rhema again. You know, and where they translated nothing, right? They just use the word nothing instead of no spoken word or no word or not any word. Right? You can trust me on this one. Right? Nothing will be impossible with God. No spoken word of God shall be without ability. This is good news, man. You know, how many of you guys have ever in your prayer time or, you know, and God has spoken something in your life? You know, you can rest assured that if that word is true from God, that it carries forth the ability to accomplish it. You know, when God asked me to become a pastor, I was very, very reluctant. You know, I've noticed kind of the history of my life. You know, whenever I was given a position or something, I've always said no in the beginning. I just immediately, my first response was no. You want to come to Hong Kong? No. Right? You want to work at, you know, no. You know, you want to do that? It was just always no first. You know, and I must have some issues. I'm trying to figure that out in my life right now. But it was always no. You know, I just said no because, and especially when I was first asked to become a youth pastor, this was years ago, right after I graduated from university. You know, I was working at a bank. I was an accountant. You know, I was enjoying my life. And all of a sudden, I get this opportunity just given on my lap, you know. And I'm telling these guys, are you kidding me? You know, I mean, I preach because I would actually go around and speak. But I would just yell at people, you know. I still usually do the same anyway, right? But, I mean, just literally for a couple hours, I just yell at people, you know. And they're like, yeah, we want you to come and be our pastor. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And they say, my initial was always no because I always thought, well, you know, I could, like, preach once in a while. You know what I mean? I can gather enough material to, like, speak, like, once a month. But to, like, give Bible studies and, like, to preach every week. You know, I mean, that's a lot of hard work, you know, and to be honest, I don't think I have it inside of me to do that, you know, but then as I'm praying, though, I feel like God's saying, you can do it, right? You can be a youth pastor. You can really do it, Sam, you know, and then I begin to connect. See, if he speaks it, not only he just speaks it forth, but he gives me the ability to perform that word out. You know what I mean? Like I shared before, right? It's not like your boss, you know, at work says, all right, work on this project. See ya. You know what I mean? Hey, we got to close this deal real soon. Okay, talk to me next week when it's all done. Right? I mean, he just doesn't do that, right? You know, God, when he gives a word out, when the word is spoken, carried along with the word is the ability to perform that word. I mean, that's some time for some amens, you know? I mean, that's good news. Do you know what I mean? And so when God says something and he speaks something over your life, you know, and he says that, you know, oh, you know, I'm going to make you into an architect, you know, and this is how I want to serve you. You can rest assured that along with the word is the ability to become whatever he has spoken out. And so God says, let there be light. It wasn't just some phrase that kind of hanged in the air somewhere. Boom, light happened. Right? That's the power of the spoken word. You know, some of you guys, and I know I say this all the time because there were so many singles in our church, right? You know, and you know, right, that you're supposed to be married. But there ain't nobody out there. You know what I mean? I mean, you look around and it's just not happening. But you know, you know, the word of God has been spoken to you. Rest assured. I mean, really, rest assured that person is being prepared for by the Lord for you. Because when he speaks it, along with the speech, is the ability to perform that word, right? Jesus even himself says, no word will fall to the ground. Every word that's spoken, right, it will accomplish what was purpose, right, what the purpose of that word was for. You know, and so when he says something to you, whatever it may be, right, when he speaks that truth in your life, it will be done, right? It will be done. You know, what is the scripture in Philippians, right? He who began a good work and you'll be faithful to complete it, right? That's up to God. Right, that's God's initiative in our lives. And so when he has spoken something over your life, you know, when he tells you, man, you will be successful. When he begins to speak that over our lives, we can rest assured that, yes, we will come to that place. It may not be success in the world the way the world sees it, but in God's economy, you will be successful. Why? Because when he spoke that word over your life, he also gave you the ability to perform that word. Right? And so, you know, some very simple things, right? And so, if God asks you, hey, you know, be a Sunday school teacher, you know, guess what? Along with not only the word that's going out, that God will give you the ability to become a great Sunday school teacher. You know what I mean? And, you know, check this out. I'll even go further, right? If God wanted me to be on the worship team, if God spoke that word out, I guarantee I could sing. Right? I mean, I'm serious, right? Obviously, he's never said that to me yet. You know, but if he did, I mean, you think about that. You know, or whatever is happening in your life, I wonder how many things God has spoken into your lives that are just dormant, you know, that you're wrestling over, you know, that it's kind of been put on the shelf here and there. You know, it seems so far away, but the moment that he spoke that word, that moment, he gave the ability to accomplish it. It's not like he spoke that word and it's like a deposit and it's going to, you know, and then he's going to give you the ability to accomplish it later. The ability comes with the word. Now, the timing is a different thing, right? And so you can't get those two things confused, right? And so, but when he speaks that word, the ability to perform that word is there. It's there. Whatever he's called you to be. You know, and I'm not just talking about spiritual things, you know. I'm not like God just asked you to become a You know, a worship leader asks you to become a missionary. You know, but in your profession, you know, if you're working on some deal and stuff and, you know, it's falling apart, you know, but you sense God speaking to you and God says, man, it's going to be done. It's done. It's been accomplished. And He'll give you the ability to accomplish that. Right? He'll give you the ability to bring that forward in our life. And so this is not just spiritual matters. This is all matters, right? In fact, I mean, what is spiritual? What's secular? It's all holy before the Lord, right? The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, right? The world and those who dwell in Him, right? Or dwell in them. And so you have to understand that all these things are given over to God. And so whenever He speaks that thing, right? No spoken word of God shall be without ability. I just want you to pause a little bit. I want the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Are there dreams? Are there things that God has spoken into your life? You know, maybe when you're a little kid and you're going to church and maybe some youth pastor prayed over you and prayed this prayer and it just like, you know, just like something just stuck inside of you. You know what I mean? And you knew that was for you. Has that been put on the shelf? You know, is that kind of like been so far away and you're like, wow, but this is how I am now? And, you know, is there a difference? Right? Is there a major discrepancy there? And I just want you to think about that a little bit. You know, has God really spoken things? It may not have come to pass yet, but the ability to perform it is there. It's there. It really is there. You just got to open your eyes, begin to see it. The power has already gone forth with that word. Right? Every time you speak forth the word of God, you go from logos. In other words, it's not just a scripture that's on a page, but you speak this thing out to become rhema, power is released, right? This is what I mean by the 40-day treatment, right? And this is what we're trying to do is we're trying to get the Word of God, the Logos, right? And to be formed into our minds and that partition begins to be Lord and Lord. Because when those thoughts come, right, our stimulus, our impetus is not just to go back to our old nature and just say, oh, just get all bummed out and, oh, no one likes me, you know, and blah, blah, blah. But it's that Word of God, boom, comes on the forefront. And you say, just like Jesus says, look, it is written. And we begin to engage the enemy. And when we begin to speak these scriptures out, man, something begins to move in the heavenlies around us. You know, and sure, the enemy's going to come again, and he's going to come again, and we say, it is written. You know, I'll be honest, now that it's been a few weeks now since we've known that Lisa is pregnant, And I was actually sharing this with Jimmy earlier. Jimmy's a father here, right? There's only a few fathers here, you know. But, man, I've been worrying a lot, you know. And I don't know what it is. I'm just being really honest with you guys, right? I'm just bombarded with worries now, you know. And I was never, I was always kind of like, you know, Southern California. You, what's up, man? You know, like happy-go-lucky, you know, kind of thing. But, no, something is just, I'm worrying about my wife, you know. I'm worrying about the fetus, you know, I'm worrying about myself, you know, am I fit to be a parent, you know, and there's so many, I can't even explain to you the thoughts that are coming through my mind these days, you know, and I find myself continually at that place, and just, I'm quoting this scripture all the time, Isaiah, right, the steadfast of mind that will keep in perfect peace. In other words, God, keep my mind in peace, I can't handle this. And I went to play basketball yesterday, and I was playing, I haven't seen a lot of these guys in a long time, And I was like, hey, yeah, guys, my wife is pregnant, you know. And I thought these guys would be all happy. And they were like, how long is she? Like, oh, she's 7 weeks along. You know, and I'm expecting these guys to say, well, that's great. And they were like, man, you really told really early. I was like, huh? What do you mean? You know, I was like, yeah, you know, there could be a lot of complications in the first 3 months. Dude, that ruined me for the whole day, man. You know what I mean? And now I'm serious. I'm walking through the day all day yesterday. And I'm just thinking like, man, did we tell everyone too early? You know, I mean, what if it's a miscarriage, you know? What if, and I'm just bombarding my mind with these thoughts, you know, and I'm just worrying all the time, and I'm going back to the scriptures, you know? And so this is my 40-day treatment, right? I mean, it's kind of started for me here, you know? And I find myself saying, you know, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication. Make your request known to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. You know what I mean? And I find myself I'm really taking this seriously because, I have to be honest, I don't know what's going on with me these days. But the only thing I can hold on to is the Word of God. You know, and when those thoughts come, you know, it's like, yeah, Sam, you told people too early. You know, who knows what's going to happen? I said, no, look, it is written. If God is for us, who can be against us? You know what I mean? I'm really grabbing onto these scriptures now, man. This is my lifeline now. You know, because, I mean, you know, and if for you, I mean, I don't like to worry. You know, I mean, I just, obviously, no one here likes to worry. As if, right? But it's just, I just don't want to be in that place. And I want my mind to be pure and just to hold up God's thoughts, right? Whatever is true, whatever is love, whatever is lofty, right? Let your mind dwell on these things. And I'm finding myself really engaging the enemy in this way. And so the 40-day treatment, right, is this engaging with the enemy. You know, right? If you resist, he will flee. Resist the devil and he will flee. You know, I said this to you so many times, right? The enemy cannot withstand a long battle. He goes, he's like a sniper. He goes in quick, you know, and then he tries to get out. He knows that a long battle will win every single time. The word of God will win every single time. Remember what it says in James? The demons know. And what do? They shudder. Oh, they're afraid. They know. They know the scriptures, right? That's why they just come in for really quick jabs here and there. You know, but then even the demons know, and they shudder. They're afraid. And so, and one thing they're afraid of, a long battle. You know, and so when we resist him, and we resist him, and we resist him, he will flee. That's the word of God. And so how do you do a 40-day treatment? We talked about this, right? So how do you go about this? You wake up in the morning, and you begin to train your mind. Whatever thoughts come your way, you know, and let's say, I'll just give my example, right? You know, I wake up and I'll pray for the child. And, you know, the first thing the enemy says, that was fruitless, man. Right? That prayer didn't work. Who do you think you are? You know, I says, I'm a son of God. Right? I'm a child of the king. Sucker. You know, like it is written. Right? And I'm engaging. You know, I'm engaging the enemy during this time. You know, and he begins to throw, well, you're not righteous, you know, and then you just, bam, it is written, right? It's not through my righteousness, but righteousness of God, you know, that he died on the cross, you know, and you just go on and just come back. It is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. You come to the afternoon, it's the same thing. You come to the evening before you sleep, it's the same thing. And you hold on to these promises of God in our life. You begin to speak these things out. And I want you to verbally speak these things out. You know, I don't want you just to, you know, I'll tell you, right? This is not a time for silent prayer, all right? This is not the time for silent prayer. You know, you're bombarded with these thoughts. And let there be a stimulus, an impetus that comes up. Instead of before where the lofty thing came up, right? Now let there be a stimulus comes up that says it is written. And begin to quote scripture. Like, I just drew this thing out for you. Like worrying, right? Or people are anxious. How many of you guys are anxious? Right, that's kind of your mode, right? You're anxious. You know, so you wake up in the morning, and the enemy comes, and, you know, he begins to, you know, be like, oh, yeah, your life sucks, you know, things not going to work out, you know, forget what you're going to do today, you know, you look horrible, you know, I mean, on and on and on and on, right? And just bombarded with all these different thoughts, you know, and you simply go before the Lord and says, man, I'm not going to be anxious, right? It is written, right? Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 9, I will not be anxious, and you can put it in your first person. I'll be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. I'll make all my requests known to God. And in the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Amen. Right? And you begin to speak these things word out. You begin to speak these things out. You know, the enemy comes and says, oh, man, you know, yeah, sure, for now. But the God's going to leave you alone. You know, he's going to set you up. He left Hezekiah alone. He's going to leave you alone. You're right? And then you come out, right? Hebrews, it says, it is written. Right? The Lord says, I will never desert you. Right? I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Amen. You know what I mean? Well, you have to say amen afterwards. I'm just saying, right? You know, but you go after it. You know, and the enemy comes and you throw something else your way, you know, and you just simply come back. 1 Peter, look, it is written, 1 Peter 5, 7. You can quote the scripture if you want. But you said the Bible says, cast all your anxieties on God and he'll care for me. And so, Lord, I cast all these things to you because I know that you care for me. This is how you do it. This is how you engage the enemy. In this way, right? That you come before him. Let's say you're dealing with trust. I'll give you an easy way to do it. If you have a study Bible, if you have a concordance or something, you go on the internet, you know, you're dealing with trust, look up all the scriptures that have the word trust in there. And then as you begin to look it up, just begin to write down simple things, you know, these verses that you feel like, wow, these things really speak to me. Just begin to write these things down. Make a little note card. You know, and just begin to put these scriptures out, you know, wherever you see them. You know, maybe you wake up in the morning and, you know, put a couple of scriptures out on your mirror, you know, and you know, just whatever, and just begin to quote these things out. And you begin to see this lofty thing begins to come lower and lower and lower. And now where the impetus before was like depression, you know, or the word comes and you get depressed, or, you know, you get sad, or you worry, or you're anxious. Now the word of God comes up, and bam, it is written, right? And it just stops the enemy in his tracks. But you go after it for 40 days, right? This is something you can't be lazy about this. And I hope that you're at a place right now where you're kind of sick of where you're at. You know, I call this holy dissatisfaction. You know, you're looking around you and says, man, I should be experiencing so much more than what I'm experiencing. You know, Jesus Christ died for so much more than what I'm living right now. And you're saying, God, there's got to be more than this. You know, and there's this kind of like churning inside, and it brings you to the place, and hopefully it brings you to the place of action, right? So you set time every day, right? The beginning of the day, throughout your day, before you go to sleep. You know, you make every opportunity to let the devil know that you mean business, right? And you do it for a period of 40 days. You know, 40 is just kind of significant. I shared last time why it's significant about the flies and all this stuff, but you think about it, the flood lasted 40 days. 40 nights. Jesus fasted 40 days. Moses went up to the mountains, fasted 40 days and 40 nights. You know, and there was just something significant. You know, even Israel, right? Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years. There's just something about that 40 that brings a completion to some cycle. You know, I don't really understand. I'm not really into numerology and, you know, these things like that. But there's something in the scriptures about 40, you know, that it seems like it was a complete circle that happened, right? There was a beginning and a closure happened in relation to 40. You know, I don't quite know what it is, but we really need to really take a stand and really go for it. And it is going to require a little bit of work, right? Yeah, we can't be lazy about this. And you guys all heard of Footprints before, right? A very famous poem. I bet you never heard of Buttprints, right? Let me read it to you. Buttprints in the sand. This is for all you lazy people out there, right? One night I had a wondrous dream. One set of footprints there was seen. The footprints of my precious Lord, but mine were not along the shore. Then suddenly some strange prints appear, and I ask the Lord, what have we here? These prints are large and round and neat. Lord, they are much too big for feet. My child, he said with a somber tone, for miles I carried you alone. I challenged you to walk in faith, but you refused and made me wait. You disobeyed, you wouldn't grow. The walk of faith you would not know. So I got tired, I got fed up, and there I dropped you on your butt. Listen, because in life there comes a time when one must walk and one must climb, when one must fight and take a stand or leave their butt prints in the sand. Right? No, I didn't make that up, okay? Someone sent it to me on the web. But just simply, right, there comes a time where we cannot be lazy, right? Like I said, right, there is a divine window for us right now as a church, individually. You know, like I said, we've been praying this whole, we even started our fast beginning of the year, just really going after breakthrough, and we're still in that mode, you know. And there's a window of opportunity for us right now, and you can't get lazy, you know. And you really have to engage, you know. And you think about, man, I'm so sick of, you know, these lies that come my way, and not only these lies, and I'm so sick of me agreeing with these lies. And so I'm agreeing with the devil, right? And I'm disagreeing with God. You know, and there comes a point where we say, no, enough of this stuff. And we put on the 40-day treatment, and you get words. And I was talking to some people, you know, and some of you guys are exchanging verses with one another. And, you know, God's giving you some verse, and it's encouraging. So you're sharing with other people, and other mothers are sharing verses. And I mean, this is wonderful. This is what the church is all about, you know, part of this community. You know, and as these verses come your way, begin to share with other people. And I say, oh, this verse really helped me. And you begin to use that as a part of your arsenal. It becomes a part of your weapon, you know, that you give to the Lord. Amen? Right? 40 days, right? A 40-day treatment of just going before the Lord, right? Of getting these scriptures. And like I said, the easiest thing to do is just grab a concordance, you know, or something, and just begin to, you know, if you have a problem with worry, just look at a concordance and look up all the worries that are in the Bible. If you're not, you can go to the Strong's Concordance. You can go on the internet, Google it, and just put Strong's Concordance. And they give you every single worry that's in all of the scriptures. And you begin to point out scriptures. If you have a problem with lust, look up the word lust, you know, or look up the word freedom, you know, and begin to just draw out all these passages and begin to grab that as a part of your arsenal. And when you get that lustful thought or when those things come, you say, it is written, right? And you just begin to engage, right, with the enemy, right, in God, knowing that when you speak that word out, the moment you speak that word out, power comes forth, right? Rhema, power comes forth. You know, when God says, you are my child, you know, you don't have to live in abandonment anymore. You know, you don't have to live, you know, with the knowledge of, man, Lord, are you really my father? God, do you really love me? Because when he speaks that, the ability comes alongside of that word. Right? That's why it's important for us to grab a hold of these scriptures and begin to launch out with our mouths and release those things. Right? And then the enemy will flee. Amen? Why don't we stand to our feet? We're going to pray the prayer that we prayed a couple of weeks ago. Why don't you grab someone's hand next to you? Right? We're all going to be about prayer declarations from now on, man. We're going to be doing this all the time. You guys ready? Is it up there, Kenny? You guys ready? Just repeat after me. It's really easy. Some of you guys in the front row can read and others cannot. Father God,
I declare
before you and your angels,
and before Satan and his demons,
that your word is true.
It's always true.
And I embrace it.
And I believe it.
By faith.
And I declare
that what is written
will come to pass
in spite of my circumstances.
And now I do this.
I come against you, Satan.
And your demons.
And I tell you,
in the name of Jesus,
the word of God is true.
It's a rock.
And I stand on the rock.
I'm shaking on the rock.
But the rock is not shaking under me.
Listen to me, Satan.
I come against this stronghold.
And I pull it down.
And I pull it down.
In the name of Jesus.
I resist you.
Today and tomorrow.
And for the next 40 days.
Until you flee.
Because it is written.
It is written.
It is written.
You will flee.
You must flee.
I will defeat you.
It is written.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a clap offering, huh? Praise God. Let's have the worship team come up. You know, it's amazing that you just spoke that word out. The power has also been released for you to accomplish that. Whatever is going on in your life, just begin to, whatever strongholds, and hopefully you've been identifying these strongholds, just begin to give that over to God, right? And just begin to go after these things. If a stronghold is about worrying, go after that, right? If it's about your finances, go after that. It's about worrying about your future, go after these things, right? Get verses out of the text and begin to use that as part of your arsenal. Amen? You guys ready? Let's just close in our last song.
Oh, breath of God, come breathe within. There must be more than this. Spirit of God, we wait for you. Fill us anew, we pray. Fill us anew. Consuming fire, burn into flame. A passion for your name. Spirit of God, won't you fall in this way? Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way.
Grab someone's hand next to you, and we'll continue singing. And if you don't know who they are, just introduce yourself right now. We can go along the aisles. Why don't you pray for the person, the brother and sister on the right and left of you. Let's just ask God to really release His hand upon your lives this week. Pray that God would just fill you with His scriptures, right? That it would become true, and God would enlarge your arsenal. So let's just pray for one another as they lead us today. God, we just...
Let your glory fall, consuming fire, burn into flame.
passion for your name. Spirit of God, would you fall in this place? Lord, have your way. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, my passion for your name. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, a passion for your name. Stir it up in our hearts. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Would you fall in this place? Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. Consuming fire, fanning to flame. A passion for your name. Spirit of God, won't you fall in this place? Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way with us.
Father, we thank you, God, that your word is true, God. And the moment, God, that we speak this word out, Father, God, that not only passion, God, but power proceeds, Lord God. For no spoken word of God shall be without ability to carry it out, Father. And God, and we especially pray, God, over the visions, God, and the dreams, Lord, and the plans that you have for every child of God in this room right now. Lord, things that were spoken into their life, God, when they were in the womb, God. Things that their parents have spoken over them, Father God. Lord, that came from your heart, Lord. Things leaders have spoken over, things that you've spoken over their lives, God. We say yes to those things, Lord. God, let it not just be an imagination, God. Let it not just be some thought, Father God. But let the reality of those words come to pass, Father. God, in your perfect timing, Lord. And we bless this church, God. We thank you for every member here, God, and the way that you're forming their lives, God, and the way that you want to break through in their lives, God, that you want to fill their thoughts, God, and their life with your truth, God, not with the lies of the enemy. And so we pray that you give us the strength to resist, God, the strength to fight the good fight of faith, Lord, that we may endure, God. We bless you. We thank you. Watch over us this week, God, as we commit ourselves to you, Father. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace from this day forever. Amen.